Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Your Next Episode with me, Louise.
And me, Amy.
I'm really excited about today's guest. I think he's someone we could spend all day chatting with, Amy. So we're going to have to rein ourselves in a bit.
Nothing new there.
No, yeah. But when our listeners hear him, I think there'll be light bulbs going off and they're going to end this episode feeling really good. So let me set the scene. I'm 51 and life's pretty good. I've got my health, my kids, I've got a good relationship, money in the bank, nice house, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason that I haven't been able to put my finger on, sometimes everything just feels a bit blur. And it's not depression, but it's just a kind of nagging sense of discontentment. And I don't know, I've done a bit of research for this episode, so I'm starting to understand why. And that's something I wouldn't normally admit to because, you know, everything's pretty okay for me. So, very much first world problems. And I'm going to sound like a spoilt brat, but actually it is a shitty way to feel.
Yeah.
But it's okay because good news, two bits of good news, in fact. One, it's absolutely normal to feel that way. And I know for a fact that everyone else my kind of age feels that way too. They're just not admitting it. So, two, it's going to get better. And I know that because there's research and science to back that up. Because all over the world, across all cultures and even other species, studies show that happiness decreases from early adulthood. So from, you know, around sort of early 20s, your happiness just sort of drops.
You're just steadily getting more miserable.
Yes. And... Right. And then you get to late 40s, early 50s, and it sort of levels out. And then happiness increases through your 50s, and it continues to do so until the end of life. So if you imagine like a U-shaped curve, it's all about to, you know, kick off for me in a wonderful way. And it's called The Happiness Curve. And our guest today, Jonathan Rauch, has written a book called The Happiness Curve, Why Life Gets Better After 50. And I can't stress this enough. This is evidence-based stuff. There's bit, you know, he'll explain it all, you know, much better than I can. But obviously, I have warned you already via WhatsApp, I think, Amy, this could be another All About Louise episode.
The irony is not lost on me, Louise, that you're just giving me a nice big signpost. Yeah. Like, I'm 43, so just take advantage of the next few years when you're going to be okay. But yeah. In three years, well, I'm just going to hit the skids in terms of my mood.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, the thing is, right, so the shit is yet to really hit the fan fully for you, yes, in a way, but actually you've been, that might sound ruthless, but at 43, you know, I mean, I can say this because I'm 51, you're 43, you know, you've still got a spring in your step, you've got glossy hair, you've got elasticity in your skin, so, you know, you can just suck that up, sunshine, but, you know, what I wanted to know is, do you recognise... when I'm talking about that decrease in contentment since your early 20s, it's not about being like miserable or depressed. It's more a contentment thing, I would think, more than happiness. But, I mean, and you had a reset in after your 40th, didn't you? With comedy. Yeah. What are your thoughts? Is any of this sounding familiar to you?
I guess it's that thing, isn't it? Of like you have this, like you say, an upward slope of kind of like, you know, you're 12, 13, 14. Obviously, you've got your hormones kicking off and stuff, but the world is full of possibility and anticipation and maybe hope and, you know, what you're going to do with your life. And then Yeah, I guess so.
Sort of gradually, yeah. You know.
There is that thing of like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is that life I was looking forward to. So is this it?
Yeah.
Is this it?
Well, the thing is, you know, what, and Jonathan Rauch will explain this better, is that he talks about the fact that, like, through your 20s, 30s particularly, you know, you've got goals and you've got, and you think that once you get to a certain point, you'll be like, that's when I'll be happy and that's when everything will be. But then what happens is you move those goals. So you just go, you know, he will explain it all, you know, much better than I can. But I think, just to be clear, to anyone listening, this isn't going to be an episode with, you know, like self-help suggestions. You know, there'll be no sort of brisk walks or journaling suggested. And, you know, and of course, all those things are beneficial and should be worked into your life. But it's also really important to understand that I think we're fed this kind of slightly mocking phrase, midlife crisis, which isn't helpful, because we're not broken or in crisis. And this is, you know, this, and I think, you know, for lots of people around midlife who are feeling that, you know, what I was talking about before, about that sort of everything's fine, I've got all the things that I thought I wanted, but I just feel a bit, you know. And understanding it's normal and it's a transition that we actually need to go through to reach that sort of upward curve. And I think what we forget sometimes is that, you know, as humans, we're pretty fucking complex, and there will be other things going on. And maybe we do need to make changes. But, you know, if we can start considering how we're feeling with a really good understanding of everything that's going on, that's got to be beneficial. I mean, like, we wouldn't these days laugh at teenagers and the transitions that they go through. And this is kind of the same thing, I think. You know, it sounds very similar to me. As I say, our guest will explain it better. But I think, and we've talked about this loads and loads on here, we're very unforgiving of midlife. We make fun of menopausal women and men having midlife crises. And, you know, actually, you know, like, that's just not acceptable, really. We're all going to reach this stage if we live long enough. So perhaps we should be, I mean, we definitely should be a bit more thoughtful and compassionate to ourselves and those around us.
And I'm just thinking, as you were saying this stuff, Louise, I guess you just hinted there, touched on the point that massive, big, life-changing decisions shouldn't be made on the basis of feeling a bit,
nah. No.
And you hear about, you know, especially sort of, that mid-40s, your kids have grown up a bit, and a lot of relationships do fragment at that point, don't they?
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of that is based on that, it's actually this person that I'm with.
Yeah.
It's all a bit meh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this happiness curve thing is a cure-all. You know, there will be
It's just another factor to consider, though, isn't it?
And also, there are things that come into your life, like, you know, health problems or...
Financial problems.
Or, you know, or a pandemic. But, you know, but I just wonder if we all understood this curve, which, you know, has been proved, you know, as I say, across countries, across cultures, and even also in chimps and orangutans as well. They did sort of, then they've done brain scans and things, so they know this is a thing.
So this doesn't discriminate in terms of what your socioeconomic status is, your gender, your
No, my age, understanding well. Is, but we'll get Jonathan Rauch to explain properly, but my understanding is that when they did these studies, they took away the things, you know, those things that we've just referred to. I don't know how they do that, but, you know, they did it so that they were measuring like for like, you know, huge studies. So and they did brain scans and things, yeah, as well. And maybe if we all understood that a little bit, it would mean that we're a bit more considered in our approach when we're feeling like this, and don't just make impulsive decisions like, oh, you know, I'm just going to walk out of my marriage, or, you know. But, you know, as I say, I think we are complex, and it's just another thing to listen to.
I am recording remotely from home today because obviously we are in this sort of lockdown.
Second
nationally.
Lockdown, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. second lockdown. And I'm so glad that the email that I sent to the bin men to turn up at 2 o'clock, just as we start recording, to empty everybody's bins on the street. I'm so glad. They're so punctual, these guys.
I can't hear them at all. So today's guest, Jonathan Rauch, he's like written loads of books and things, and he writes a lot about government and politics. He's a really super clever bloke. And he's won loads of awards and things, you know, really prestigious awards. Writes for people like the New York Times, The Economist, The Atlantic.
It's going to be interesting.
I think he's going to be really interesting. But he's really got away with words, you know. Well, I mean, obviously he's got away with words because, as I've just said, he's won massive awards. He doesn't need me to tell him he's got away with words, does he?
Do you know what? I think this might be the pivotal point in his career All the hard work is confirmed.
Do you know what, Jonathan, if you're listening, you can have that for your website. Yeah, he's got away with words, Louise Daniels, your next episode.
There's a testimonial for you,
Jonathan.
There
we go. You can have that right there for nothing.
And that's coming up in just a sec.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Jonathan Rauch, welcome to your next episode.
I'm happy to be here for my next episode.
You've written 7 books, including this one, and many, many articles for various big publications on a wide range of topics, including government and culture. How did you get interested in the subject of happiness?
I suffered a bizarre and alarming midlife funk that began descending on me when I was about turning 40. It got worse into... Mm-hmm. My mid-40s, I would wake up in the morning with strange voices telling me I had wasted my life, that I had done nothing worthwhile, that I had to start everything over, that I needed to quit my job. And in my case, what was alarming about that was that I had exceeded all of my goals in life, every single one. You know, I had come out as gay and had a successful relationship and written for all the top magazines and published books. I had all my dreams come true, and here yet I felt ungrateful and disappointed. That became alarming. I thought maybe I was depressed. I thought maybe my personality had changed in a bad way, and that made me even more alarmed, and I spiraled. I didn't seek professional help, but I stayed in the closet about it. I didn't tell people. When I was about 50, it began to subside, even though I had big setbacks in life, death of parents, loss of job, that sort of thing. And around the same time, with the think tank where I worked, I learned about this new science of happiness, which was finding something called the happiness U curve, which is exactly what I experienced. It's a science that shows that other things equal, which they're usually not, but other things equal. Midlife is a time of disappointment and pessimism and transition. And it was exactly what I experienced. So I decided to write a book about it so that other people would not be as scared and alarmed as I was.
Right. Mm-hmm. The happiness curve, what's your definition of happiness? Is it actually contentment or?
No.
No?
No, it's its own thing. So this is really important. There are two big categories of happiness that people study. And one is called affective happiness. And that's how cheerful are you?
Mm.
And they find that out by asking you questions like, how often did you smile today? How much stress do you feel? That sort of thing. And that's sort of your passing emotional condition. There's something else called evaluative happiness, and that's what we're talking about. And that's how satisfied are you with your life as a whole? Then that's right. gotten at with questions like, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is the best life you could imagine for yourself, where would you put yourself? Or questions like, overall, how satisfied are you with your life? And these things are actually very different. People can be depressed yet feel very good about their satisfaction with their lives, and vice versa. It's the latter which is really the controlling variable for midlife transitions. And that's this question of, well, do I feel satisfied with my life? Mm. So that's what we're talking about here. And that actually turns out to be more important than affective happiness for long-term happiness.
So what are the explanations for that dip in happiness and then that increase? So the curve, what is there like a scientific explanation for that?
We're much better on the what than the why at this point. Mm-hmm. The what is that, if I could sort of do that before we get into the possible explanations, just to tell people what's going on here. The what is that if you look at life satisfaction, well, here's how we found out about this. Some economists of all people got hold of these gigantic data sets, countries around the world, millions of data points asking people about their satisfaction in life. And being statisticians, they went through all this data and said, well, let's just correct for everything. Let's find out the effect of income, education, employment, health, marital status, all the other things they could find. And they factored those in to see what the effect was on life satisfaction. And then they factored them all out. They just said, well, what happens if you take all the differences between people out of the equation? And they expected to find nothing. But what kept turning up, by accident really, was this strange relationship between happiness and age. Even when nothing else is going on, right? They've taken out the variables. So it's as if Jonathan and Louise and Amy are all having the exact same life conditions, yet they're likely to be feeling this slump in midlife. So this began to be discovered in the early 2000s. It's now been documented in countries all over the world in massive data sets. There is no difference between men and women, which surprises people, zero difference. It's well established. The underlying trend is exactly the same in both. It doesn't mean that any particular person will experience this, because there are a lot of other things going on in our lives. But it does mean, other things being equal, time works against happiness until about middle age, and then it flips. It starts working for happiness. So that's the what. And you asked about the why, and I'm sorry to filibuster, but I thought I could do them in that order, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
So there's no difference for men and women. What about menopause for women? Does that not impact?
Doesn't show up. No one knows why.
Wow.
People think I suspect it's a couple of things. I suspect one is that's more about affective happiness, which is how you feel today, you know, your mood,
right,
than it is about your contentment in life. And another is, I think people adjust for it. I think it's so well known that this is something that happens, that no one goes around saying, well, this is going to ruin the rest of my life.
Right.
I won't achieve my dreams because of menopause. So I think it kind of gets sidelined.
Ah, right. Okay.
It does feel like midlife is quite a transitional stage. Louise and I were talking about it before, and I was sort of thinking about all those people who do feel that kind of meh, M-E-H, which I'm just, that's my scientific terminology coming through there. But, like, people will get divorced, people will make decisions on that feeling of, is this it? This is shit. Mm. You know, like, and we were saying, like, God, if there was maybe a bit more recognition or tolerance or an understanding that this is just part of it, ride it out. I mean, how can we sort of manage it within ourselves? Like, Jonathan, tell us what to do. We just need you to tell us your advice.
Did I mention I have a book on this? And there's two whole chapters on what to do.
We have talked, our introduction does talk about the book, yeah, quite a lot. So
a huge thing about what to do is exactly what you just said, which is so perceptive. So there's the underlying phenomenon, which is this tendency to feel disappointed and pessimistic in middle age. But then there's this further phenomenon of becoming alarmed and worried about that, and then not telling people about it, so letting yourself become isolated. All of these things happened to me. A very important thing to do, there are lots of others which we can talk about, but an important thing to do is just understand that if you're experiencing one of these midlife slumps, and there's nothing terribly wrong with your life, There's also nothing wrong with you. This is not abnormal. It is not depression. It is not psychiatric. It is just a natural transition, which we go through. We could talk about why, but it's a little bit like adolescence. Not everyone has a difficult adolescence, but a lot of people do. We understand that. We provide lots of social support. We provide lots of counseling and ways for people to understand that. What we do about people with a midlife slump is we say, oh, Louise, you must be having your midlife crisis. You're going to get that red sports car? We mock people.
Mm. Yeah.
We call it a crisis. It's not a crisis. It's a perfectly healthy transition.
Mm-hmm.
But we call it a crisis.
Yeah, we're not broken, are we?
which stigmatizes it. People think, oh, my God, I'm about to, you know, my family's going to get disrupted. So that adds to the fear. So just normalizing it, not treating it as a crisis, is just a it's not the only thing we can do, but it's a big part of what we can do. And then support people who are going through it. Don't make fun of them. Don't ridicule them.
Mm.
It's a very normal thing. It's a natural thing. It happens to so many people. And there's a reward for it, which is really important. It's a transition to something. So you wouldn't want to get rid of it, even if you could, because it leads to better things ahead.
Right. Yeah, which is, so can we just go back, are our brains changing then? Is that what's going on as we get older?
So we don't really know. Mm. We know that something pretty fundamental is going on because the same pattern is observed in chimps and orangutans. Mm. So something fairly fundamental is happening, but we also know it's partly social because the shape of this curve, the trajectory, when it bottoms out, differs by country and culture. So it's some mix of country and culture.
Mm.
I think what's going on, and this is me now, this is not hard science.
Mm.
I think it's a combination of three vectors. I call them the three R's just to remember them. They're realism, revaluing, and rewiring. Realism is that when we're young, you know, in our 20s, we make a forecast error. We assume that if we achieve the things that we dream of in our 20s, we'll be super satisfied with our lives. You know, the house, the relationship, the job, whatever it is. But that's not how ambition works. Ambition keeps moving the goalposts. Yeah. So every time we achieve something, we think of two other things that we want.
Right.
That goes on into our 20s and 30s. In our 20s, we think, well, this year I'm disappointed, next year I won't be. But by the time we're 40, we've been through about 20 years of achieving and achieving and still not getting there. So we become pessimistic about ever feeling good about where we are and disappointed in how good we feel. That's the forecast error. But that begins to work itself out because of number two, which is revaluing. Mm. As we move through middle age, our values begin to shift away from ambition and social competition and toward connection and cooperation. That's the relationships and people that we care most about. And that really is rewarding. That doesn't move the goalposts. That's really what you want to be doing if you want rewards in life, is loving people and being loved, connecting, valuing those relationships. So as our values shift, we move in this very positive direction, but there's this time in between when the old values of ambition have failed us and disappointed us, and the new ones haven't really come in yet. And then there's a third thing that happened implicit in your question, which is rewiring, which is simply that our brains change as we age. Mm. Everything that you think you know about the aging process and emotional health is wrong. We become more positive as we age. This is shown in brain scans. You put older people and younger people in fMRI machines and expose them to positive and negative stimuli. The younger people will respond relatively more to the negative stimuli, the older people to the more positive stimuli. It's easier for older people to look at the brighter side of life. They experience less stress in a given situation, less emotional volatility, less depression. And this goes right on through old age, and that's the payoff of the happiness curve. Once we're through this transition, the relationship between time and happiness, life satisfaction, is upward right until the end of life. And that bad cycle of disappointment and pessimism turns into a positive cycle of positive surprise.
Right.
Every year. Wow, I'm happier than I expected to be. What's going on?
Mm. That's fabulous. What marvelous news. So am I right in understanding? So this is the transitional point, which I think I'm perhaps coming out of it a bit now because I'm 51. So there's a kind of a natural sort of lowering of expectations expectations, which is good for us. And, you know, is it a case of surrendering to it? And should we embrace not striving anymore and not being ambitious? That feels very hard to do. And I think you touched on that just now, in that you've got this, for me, conflicting feelings about, well, I should be doing this, but equally what I want to do has changed, and the way I want to spend my time and the rest of my life has changed slightly. Have I got that right? Is that what you mean by that transition point?
Well, it's what you mean by that transition point. No two of us experience it quite the same way. In my book, I just interviewed lots and lots of people. It's not all science. It's also about the subjective experience of going through this. I learned that no two people are quite alike, but what you describe is very common. In my case, I'm still ambitious. I'm working on a book right now that I hope will be my best book. And and I believe it will last 1,000 years or maybe 100,000 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the lights go out on the universe, it'll be the last object that the last cockroach is crawling over. So it's not that I've lost my ambition, but it's... I'm 60 now. Right. I'm on the upswing of the curve. I can feel that. And it's more like, for me, a sense of proportion. It doesn't feel like all the eggs are in that one basket of ticking off the checklist of things that I need to accomplish. It's more like feeling a better sense of proportion,
right,
and not depending so much on that feeling of accomplishment. I haven't lost my ambition.
Right, okay.
But I do feel now that, you know, if somebody told me I had cancer and had a year or two left to live, I'd finish this book and then I'd focus on the people.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So up until you were, what, sort of in your 40s, because you were somebody who had, you know, your life was full of massive achievements and accomplishments, recognition, wasn't it? I mean, you were, am I right, you were on the cover of The Atlantic in your mid-20s, and yet even you felt that. Did you then sort of go, okay, that was great, but now I want to achieve this and I'll be happy when I've achieved that? That's what you're describing. Is that right?
That's what my mindset was telling me intellectually. Mm. In my case, it was obvious I was acting or that my emotions were not rationally connected to my situation, because when I was 45, against all expectations, I won the highest award magazine journalists can win in the US. Mm. It's the National Magazine Award, and it's the equivalent of the Pulitzer Prize. I never expected that.
Yeah.
And that finally gave me that sense of real satisfaction and achievement that I had been waiting for about 2 weeks.
Mm.
And then it dissipated, and I was right back to the morning demon saying I had wasted my life and I needed to quit my job and start and do something worthwhile. And at that point, I said, okay, Jonathan, this is completely irrational. Whatever is happening here does not have to do with the objective circumstances of my life. And that's the real paradox here. That's what makes this so hard to process. This is a syndrome that's especially common among high achievers who are achieving their goals. Because remember, there are a lot of things that determine your life satisfaction. It's like a river voyage in which time, your age, is the undercurrent, and it's a powerful undercurrent, pulls against you in midlife and then turns around. But in a river journey, lots of things determine your voyage, including what your destination is and what's the weather like, what's the condition of your boat, how strong of a rower are you? Are you getting enough to eat? So in the case of someone with a lot of turmoil and difficulty in their life, if they're not feeling satisfied, they have a lot of things to ascribe that to and a lot of things they can try to fix. But if you're someone like me, or maybe you, and everything else is going smoothly in life, you really feel that undercurrent. And you really feel like, wait a minute, I don't have any excuse for feeling the way I do.
No.
I must just be becoming some kind of whiner.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's also really interesting what you were saying before about your reaction to that. It almost fans the flames. There is the way that you're feeling and then that panic and the spiraling that goes on. I do think, you know, again, with our podcast, it just hopefully people will kind of check out your work and maybe fall down that rabbit hole to actually educate themselves and learn more about it. So there is no need to fear it. This is just a normal transition in life.
Natural, normal, healthy. It will never be fun to go through. but it does not need to be as isolated and alarming as it is.
So what would you say to people who reach 50 and just go, well, it's all downhill from here? Because I think actually that's what we're kind of fed, isn't it, as well? That sort of like, oh, you know, it is all downhill from 50. I mean, I'm not thinking that, but, you know, what would you say to people who do think that?
Well, this gets to what I hope is the biggest single takeaway of my book, which is this is not a problem for me to fix or for you to fix. This is a problem for us as a society to fix. Because what's happening here is this story that we tell ourselves, at least in the UK and America, sets up all the wrong expectations. And it's that at 50, at 45 or 50, we should be at the peak of our emotional mastery and our competence, and we're taking care of kids possibly and also parents possibly, and we've got the big career and this is the peak of life, but then we're going to hit our 50s and then 60s and we're gradually going to decline. We're going to become more curmudgeonly and we're going to lose our cognitive edge and we're going to decline into depression, dementia, despair, and death, all bad things that begin with D. And so if we're not feeling at the peak of our life satisfaction at age 50, we think it's all downhill. Of course, that makes us even more pessimistic. Mm-hmm. What people need to understand is that the reverse is actually true. For many people, midlife is the hardest part of adult life, and it's going to get better. And for many people who are in this situation, the most important form of therapy is just wait. Just understand it's natural and things will get better. You'll age out of it, which is exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
So that's hugely important. We've got to change the social story that we're telling about aging because it's exactly backwards.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's actually a good news book, this. You know, we're living longer at, it turns out, the most emotionally rewarding time of our lives. We're living longer, so we get more of that good stuff.
It's
Who knew?
I call it, and I think this is literally true, the greatest gift in the entire history of the human species is happening right now. I mean, it may be fire and the wheel and a few other things. But what we're talking about is that right now, humanity is gaining an additional 10, 15, ultimately 20, more than 20 years of additional lifespan in exactly the most satisfying and pro-social time of life. This is the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when we're at our most inclined to give back to our communities, to each other, when we have experience, when we have wisdom, when we're likely to feel more satisfied with where we are. This is where we're getting all those additional years, and it's so important we not throw that away with age discrimination and myths about sidelining, you know, about old age being a time of gloom and despair. The old system where people just retire and fall off the map at 65, that's completely obsolete.
Mm. Yeah.
Because people don't want to do that. They're in this period of life now. They've got these additional years. Yeah. So it's a tremendous piece of good news if only we have the presence of mind to seize this gift.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's an absolute must read for all of us, you know, and really reassuring to understand how to navigate that stage of life. So I'm going to obviously put all the details up on our show notes, but can you just tell us now where people can discover more about the book and more about you as well?
And check out my book website, happinesscurvebook.com, and there you'll find links to all the usual places where you can buy the book. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's a UK edition, which was just absolutely wonderfully done, and you can find it in bookshops around Britain. So I'd encourage people to check all that out if they're interested in me personally. I've got a personal website with lots of my writing on it.
Okay.
It's called jonathanrausch.com, as you might expect.
Yeah. Okay. And on Twitter, you're on Twitter, I think.
Yes.
You're not on Instagram.
John, J-O-N underscore Rausch, R-A-U-C-H is my Twitter handle.
Okay.
I don't tweet a lot because it doesn't make me happy.
Why doesn't it make you happy? Because people are really, can be really horrible on Twitter.
and no one pays me.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You just get toxic energy and don't even get paid for it.
Yeah. More seriously, I don't mind Twitter. I find it useful. But face-to-face and real interpersonal interaction is so much more rewarding that, so I mentioned I'm 60 and I'm increasingly finding myself more focused on the relationships and the actual people. And I just feel like it's so much more attractive day to day to be making contact with human beings like the two of you. And Paul. Paul is not so bad himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. He's only allowed to get any recognition.
He's only allowed to speak when I let him, Jonathan. So. Oh, well, thank you so much for explaining and normalising something that pretty much all midlifers are going to experience.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of light bulb moments happening when whatever you're doing, whether you're walking the dog or driving along, there may be some people go, oh, shit, okay, yeah, that's actually that pattern is ringing a bell with me or somebody maybe that you know, and it's great that we can sort of shed a light on that. So thank you so much.
A privilege to be here and a joy to meet you. Thank you.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.